A friend of mine had been tweeting about this journey that she was on. And I sent her a message and I said, Masasa, tell me every single step you're following because I think I'm in the middle of that chaos. And she said, you know what? Through all the things I've been through, I found that sorting out my health and my gut was priority. Before I went to the gyms and the psychologists and the nutrition, I mean, sorry, and the hormone specialists, she was like, please, let's just go and check out your food, what you're eating, how you're eating, etc. So when I called you, in my head, I was like, gosh, here we go, another dietitian journey. And when we told them overweight and oh, and I dreaded it. I think I rescheduled with you a few times before we actually set up a date. So seeing you was kind of my first step into, okay, sunshine, no more avoidance. Let's sort this out. This is a you problem. You know, work is not going to fix it. Friends are not going to fix it. And so I came in extremely anxious. But I think having gone through that first session with you was the first time at my 43 years of age where I realized the impact of what I was eating. And I'll give you a silly example. Just the first week after you put me on my eating plan, I slept the best, I'm sure, in the last 20 years.
Today's episode is a little different. I'm joined by someone I've had the privilege of walking alongside for quite some time now. Sunshine Chivambo is a powerhouse. She's built an impressive career in the corporate world, founded her own businesses, and led from the front in high-pressure environments where burnout is often the unspoken cost of success. In our conversation, we talk honestly about what it means to be a woman in leadership today, how burnout creeps in, and what it takes not to just survive, but truly heal and thrive. Sunshine shares her own story with courage and insight, and I think it will resonate with anyone who's ever felt stretched too thin by the demands of modern life. I've been a nutritionist for over 16 years now, and every time I witness someone turn their health around, whether by changing what they eat, honoring rest, or simply reconnecting with their body, it reminds me why I do my work. Sunshine's story is a powerful reminder of what's possible when we give ourselves permission to pause and reset. My hope is that this episode leaves you feeling inspired, more connected to your own health journey, and perhaps even ready to take that first step towards change. The last time you came to see me, you told me all about your story and what you'd experienced through the process. And that's really what I wanted to chat with you about today, because that's everybody's story. You know, we all go through stuff and we don't talk about it and we think we're alone and we suffer in silence. And it's not necessary to suffer in silence, because so many of us are feeling the same way and dealing with the same stuff, but we feel that we're uniquely flawed. And I think it's really, really important to talk about how we overcome so that we can help other people overcome.
So I think for someone who talks for a living, I find it so much easier to speak on anything else but myself. And I think a lot of it comes from my cultural background, where you're kind of told, don't ever show your cards, or like, don't let people know what's going on. They just see the peak, but you keep paddling underneath and you just keep on swimming. We're Nemo. Just keep swimming, just keep swimming. So I think for me, the most liberating thing with starting this journey for you has been unveiling and uncovering ways to kind of speak.
Yes.
Especially because it's about me. I'm always like, do they really need to know? Do I have anything of value to add from a personal perspective? Professionally, all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm learning with this journey because I'm having more conversations with women who are currently going through similar. And I'm finding that a lot of them are surprised someone's talking about it because they're suffering in silence.
Yes.
So I become this undercover kind of agent that's got everyone speaking on it. And it always starts very awkwardly because we're all in it. But until I'll mention something like, guys, the brain fog, or I'm suddenly have itchy skin, or suddenly I can't process as fast. And I'm hearing women go, I thought I was losing my mind. I thought this was happening. And as this journey's going, there's this community of comfort that's coming from talking about it. And that's becoming something that I'm becoming more comfortable with, which I don't think 6 months ago would have ever happened.
Right. And you are in an industry, an industry that crushes people. I mean, I've been in that industry.
Our industry forces you to be resilient. One, it's a culture that's extremely unhealthy, but it's a culture that I think people just adopted from the past. You know, advertising and marketing is this big, crazy world where we kind of live like rock stars. A lot of the time hasn't been by choice, right? You kind of walked into it and they said, this is the expectation. This is what happens. And as a young kid, there was no ways I was going to set boundaries. I wasn't going to be the one shaking up the industry. So you just fall into it. You kind of, okay, if this is how we swim, this is how I'm swimming.
Yeah.
But it's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable.
It's extremely lonely because you suddenly get into the cycle of extremely late nights, overworking, you're missing family things. You're missing important milestones in your life because work comes first, you know, and it's always on. My least favorite word is always on.
Yeah.
But our industry says that's what happens. You guys are always on. Whether you're at a family picnic, think about my campaign in the background. Whether you're going for a walk, think about my email that I sent.
Yeah.
And I think that's been the best liberating thing for me with this journey. It's finding those boundaries. And I don't know if it's because we started it, but I think I'm finding the confidence to have the voice to go, this isn't healthy. I don't want to do this. I'm sleeping at 9, so I'm not going to revert this evening. I wouldn't have done that a year ago. That would have been the end of me. But I've realized putting my health first was actually much more important than any of it.
Yeah, and sometimes you just need someone to tell you you have permission to put yourself first. You know you do, but you're waiting for someone to tell you you have to do this for your sanity and your health, and then you do it.
You were my sheikh. You were my little, like, sis, it doesn't have to be like this. And I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
I've always had people to confide in, but even in confiding, it's always been, I'll give you just the percentage of the bad stuff, but I'm fine. You know, I'm surviving, but there's this little problem. Now my conversation is completely different. I go, these are the challenges I'm going through, but generally I'm great. You know, where before the great would be the conversation. Now it's, dude, I'm in hormonal treatment. I've just had to kind of get back into the gym. Things that were not a priority for a very long time are suddenly extremely important to me. And I think my age is playing into it as well, where I'm going, you've done this for X amount of years and nothing's changed. What's wrong with trying something new? And let's see what results come from doing the opposite of what you'd normally do. You know, where I'd get into to declutter my mind, I would actually fill my mind with more work. And that for me was a source of decluttering because I was going, I don't have to think about my real problems. I've got all this work. I've got an income coming in. I've got a team that can park.
You know, that's called avoidance, huh?
But it's a survival tool.
It is.
That comes with, I think, one, being in any creative industry. Secondly, you know, coming into an industry, I remember when I got into advertising, I was one of the only female black directors in my class. And so you're always kind of tippy toeing because you're going, if this wasn't happening before me, I don't want to be the one to disrupt. I don't want to be the one to shake it up. And when I did eventually get to that point, it was with such resentment. Against those poor people who did nothing because I did it to myself. But there was so much resentment and frustration that I got to a point where I was just like, I can't live like this. This in itself can't be healthy. The avoidance, the overworking, the constantly on, I don't feel like it's doing anything that's of benefit to me, my soul, my spirit, my anything.
Yeah.
It was just
Okay.
kind of giving me a tool to move forward.
Yeah. So let's take the listeners back right to the beginning, to the day that you came into my office. What happened? What happened?
I had had the most dreadful Christmas. I remember it was raining that Christmas, but I had a hot flash from the moment I woke up until I went back home that evening. I would normally spend Christmas in my mother's house. I felt like her house was an oven. I was like, let me go. I don't want to be here. I want to be home. Extremely short, highly emotional, like every little thing triggered me. I would cry at a whim, which was not something that I had been used to. I'm not a big crier. Nemo will make me cry, but not a loss of a friend. So it's two extremes. And I remember coming back home and thinking, gosh, I'm missing out this big family gathering because I'm just not feeling like myself. I can't let this happen again. And I think by the 5th of January, I called your office. So a good 10 days later or so, a friend of mine had been tweeting about this journey that she was on. And I sent her a message and I said, Masasa, tell me every single step you're following, because I think I'm in the middle of that chaos. And she said, you know what? Through all the things I've been through, I found that sorting out my health and my gut was priority. Before I went to the gyms and the psychologists and the nutrition, and the hormone specialist, she was like, please, let's just go and check out your food, what you're eating, how you're eating, etc. So when I called you, in my head, I was like, gosh, here we go, another dietitian journey. And when we told them overweight and I dreaded it. So I think I rescheduled with you a few times before we actually set up a date. And so that first appointment for me was, I was highly anxious. I knew something was happening to me that wasn't my normal way. I was feeling completely different. I had been struggling from extreme migraines. I came in with migraines, with a lot of clenching at night. And it was just these little symptoms that I thought, this is all going to be connected somehow. So seeing you was kind of my first step into, okay, sunshine, no more avoidance. Let's sort this out. This is a you problem. You know, work is not going to fix it. Friends are not going to fix it. And so I came in extremely anxious. But I think having gone through that first session with you was the first time at my 43 years of age where I realized the impact of what I was eating. And I'll give you a silly example. Just the first week after you put me on my eating plan, I slept the best, I'm sure, in the last 20 years.
Wow.
Just that alone was game changing for me. I've always struggled from insomnia. It's something I've struggled from college, because we keep going. And so I could operate on falling asleep at 2 a.m. and being up to do an 8 a.m. meeting. But never in my head did I think all those things are connected. So it was, I think that was such a revelation for me when you were like, okay, let's just try 1 week and see what happens. And the change was so extreme in that week. That's why I'm still on this plan right now. If anything, I have slept the best in my life in a very long time. So I feel less emotional. I haven't had a headache since I first saw you. I haven't had this gripping in my teeth, this grinding that I used to do all the time. And I feel lighter. And not that I've lost any weight, but I just feel lighter. I feel like I can operate. Like my head is a bit clearer, where I was on autopilot for a very long time. I was just kind of, we sleep because we have to sleep. But dude, you got to get up. Like, shit is happening. You need to keep moving, keep going.
Yeah.
You know, if you slow it down, you're losing. And that was the energy and culture and space that I was in for a very long time, up to running my own business, being in corporate. The whole had been under that premise of just like, you have to keep going.
You know, When you first came into my office, it was like you'd been shot out of a cannon, and the sparks were still trailing you around as you were walked in the door. And you'd been running on adrenaline for so long that I don't think you knew any other way to operate. And this is so common with so many people, men and women. And then they go, well, why am I going to a nutritionist? Because, like you said, what's food got to do with it? And it's not just about the food, as you quickly realize, it's about someone giving you permission to stop and think about it differently. And not everyone takes that permission and does what, but I think you need to be at a specific level of desperate, of like back against the wall. I have no choice. I'm going to die if I don't do this. We've got to be ready to change.
And I felt like that. I felt like that before, when I look back now, because I think part of this journey is also kind of stopping and going, okay, this actually started a bit earlier, or I felt this change in this space. I think what you've empowered with me with is that permission, but also listening to myself. Just going, sunshine, think about it, or, kind of taking a breath and not just jumping in. I've always been a jump
Yeah.
in and just go, go,
Yes.
go. And that adrenaline became an addiction in a sense, because if I wasn't going, I felt like I wasn't achieving. And so it just,
Yeah.
when you went, but why? And I went, oh my God, she's asking me a valid question. Like, who am I competing with? Who am I fighting? And it was me
Yeah.
fighting me. So I think
Yeah.
that was, after our first conversation, that was the biggest sense of relief where I was going. I don't have to fight. I don't have to have
Yes.
this internal kicking and screaming that's happening because, gosh, I'm done. Like I'm exhausted. I remember saying to you, I'm so tired of feeling tired.
Yeah. You were answering the answers for yourself the whole time, but sometimes we just need someone to hold a space and let you come to the realization on your own and validate your truth for you. And that's really, really important. And you don't always get that from. You do get it from a good psychologist, but you don't always get it in
And you
therapy.
don't get it in real life. I think, our friends play a critical role in kind of keeping our mental state correct. But when you're having an internal battle, it's hard to even articulate
Yeah.
what you need help with, or the struggle you're having. I think for me, you gave me the vocab to articulate that this is making me feel like this, or this is
Yeah.
hindering me, or this is the challenge I'm facing at the moment. And just off your recommendations of, I can help with this, but this you'd need help with somebody else. This eco cycle you've created between Dr. B and between Vanessa is game changing, right? Firstly, to be protected and put into a community by women is something that's downplayed quite a bit.
It is so important to have the right team, and we don't think of our mental and physical health as having to have to be part of a team. So another thing that really came up for me when we first met was your social circle, and we really need friends in our world, but sometimes we keep the friends who keep validating the behavior we're trying to change. And although we don't want to lose those friends, we've also got to go and find a social circle that validates the person we want to become, or the person we're striving to be, not the person we were, or the person that validates our adrenal burnout because they're going through adrenal burnout. So we're in this together, and we almost friends like that enable each other's behavior. And I think it's something to be aware of. It's not that you want to drop people in your life like that, but you've got to recognize them. Where it's working for you and not working for you, and find people who can nurture you in the direction of where you want to become. And that's where a therapy team of the right for women, a therapeutic team of women, is very, very important because they were all on the same page.
I've been very lucky to have just a group of friends who have been very patient with me as I go on this journey. I think a lot of people who know me to be the socialite,
Yeah.
the instigator of the good times, and to have such an extreme change where for a very long time I was isolating, just trying to figure out what's happening in my head, pulled away.
Oh.
Some friends would kind of go, "Oh, you've become boring. Oh, we can't count on you to join us in the good times." I have a group of friends who said,
Yeah.
"Whatever you need, if you need to stay away from us, cool. If you need to, kind of sit in your silence
That's
and
great.
listen to yourself, absolutely. But just remember, we're here, And they would check in and kind of figure out, is it something that you're kind of finding help with? Do we need to help? And that in itself gave me the confidence to go, cool, this journey
Yes.
that I'm embarking on is actually what I need to do. I enjoyed having a community of women where I can go, I'm struggling in my feelings, I'm struggling in my food, and I'm struggling, how to say what I'm feeling. I found solace in having just this little companionship with my therapist, with my nutritionist, with my endocrino. I'm gonna say,
Endocrinologist.
yes, that's the word, and my gynecologist, all very strong female women who have experienced what I've experienced or who are going through some form of it. It's been incredible to know this is not unique to
Yes.
me. And I think for a very long time, I was crucifying myself, thinking, why are you going through this when other 43-year-olds look like they're having the time of their life?
Well, they're not really, to tell you the truth.
But when you're going through it, you think it's just you. Until you start having those conversations and you realize, oh gosh, friend, I thought you were living the best life. And they're going, no, I have all this backache. I suddenly have, and you just go,
Okay.
okay, I'm not going crazy. I'm not losing my
Yeah.
mind, because you feel like that because everything's changing. I felt like all the change came at once, which overwhelmed me so much that I automatically went into a
Yeah.
void.
Yeah. Over the last maybe 20 or 30 years, when since women have really taken the reins in the economy, have moved away from being exclusively, home management into business management, we have forgotten our humanity in the process to an extent, because we are almost in competition with ourselves to prove a point. And we've lost touch of, and men don't do that. Men are much better at knowing when, not all men, but a lot of men generally know when they need downtime, know when they need to exercise. They also have burnout, but they d experience it differently to us, because I'm assuming here, and I'm quite happy to be corrected, that men experience this differently, and they tend to talk about these things with their friends differently,
Absolutely.
and they
I
feel
think as
less
a woman also,
isolated.
once you find your
Yeah.
independence and, like you're saying, you've stepped away from the traditional expected role, we almost go into like superhero armor. And you're like, okay, since I'm here, I'm going to prove I can do all of it,
Yeah.
because I've chosen to kind of put myself in the circumstance, right?
Yeah.
Whether to be a single parent, or you are a new working woman, or you've started your own business, you almost feel obligated to handle it yourself because you put yourself there. I think what men do really well, or the men in my life do really well, is they find the time to bond and
Yeah.
vent. With us, it's almost a negative connotation if you're going to come in and you're going to bitch, because then you're known as the friend who's always
It's a
bitching,
weakness.
or the friend who's always complaining, and it's just like, guys, I just don't know. I'm just looking for guidance. And I have four brothers, two older, two younger. And I've found, as I've come into my age and I've grown older, it's easier for me to have a conversation with my brother about perimenopause, because he has a wife and four daughters. And he's going, what? Okay, that's why my wife is losing it. Okay, I'll be kinder, I'll be a bit more gentle. They are open to having any of those conversations if we are willing to have the conversations with them. So a lot of my male friends are constantly like cringing, because I know your girlfriends are going to go through it. Your mom went through it. I need you to apply compassion to everything I tell you, because it's so different for all of us, right? What I'm experiencing, your wife could be on the extreme end or could be on a milder end. And he's loving it. He's always like, dude, I think this happened. Is it that thing you told me about? And that I found very interesting now, that it's become so easy for me to have this conversation. Nikki, this wouldn't have happened last year. I don't think it would have even happened this year if I didn't meet you. So I'm really enjoying this new kind of layer, this onion layer that I've unwrapped at the moment. And I'm like,
It is such an adventure.
Absolutely. I'm like, gosh, I could have applied this then, you know, but you're just told kind of keep it in, shield it. Don't, you know, in the corporate space, they'll say to you, playing with the boys. So you don't cry at the office. You don't get emotional. You kind of contain those emotions because you are equals. And I'm just like, not really.
No.
We've all kind of had more pressure on us. You know, we cannot control what our hormones do at a certain age and stage in our lives. And I think a lot of male colleagues who did have compassion were married or had been with their partner for a long time, but also a partner who's very open. So there'd be an understanding. But I had the complete opposite in guys who were my age or peers who had no clue, who were just like, man up, we're at work. You can't do that. You don't show that side. Like, get it together.
And that's such an interesting thing you're saying, man up, because men suffer too.
Yeah.
And they're also trying to man up. And maybe this is the downfall of the corporate work world, and where corporate wellness is falling over as well, is why should we all man up? Why don't we just be human? I think we'll be more productive if we recognize our humanity.
100%. I mean, till today, a lot of corporates don't have a period clause or, you know, elements that speak specifically to women that could never affect a man.
Yeah.
How PMS can affect your day-to-day work life is a whole nother chapter on its own. And I think where corporate struggles is that because top management is still predominantly male, that man up attitude is still there. Because it's when I started in corporate early in my 20s, those same people are still in those positions, and I'm 43 now.
Wow.
So it won't change if that system and those kind of guidelines are put in place, you know, until they put a female CMO, there'll be no compassion when it comes to women and the challenges we face every month with just a period.
Yes, yes. So early on in the conversation, you mentioned something that made me think it's a coming of age thing. So, you know, we go through our early 20s and 30s, our sort of childbearing age, where we're more compliant. We don't find our voice until our 40s. And then something happens when you reach that fourth decade where you go, screw it, I can't anymore. And the voice starts coming out, and it takes not only everyone around us by surprise, it takes us by surprise, our ability to vocalize.
Yeah.
What happened in your case?
I think it shocked everyone because I suddenly had very firm boundaries in place. I'd always been the person who'd put in the extra mile, who'd help anyone asking some form of assistance. I'd say, okay, if I can't help you, I can make two or three phone calls and it, you know, kind of follow through and make sure your stuff is happening. When I started saying no, because I sleep at 9 o'clock, there were huge gasps. What do you mean? What? Why? What's happening? Are you okay? And I'm like, no, it's because I have to be up at 7 to eat. And they're like, all of this for food. And I was like, yes, all of this for food, because that little thing has made me realize I actually have all these hours to sleep. I thought I just didn't have sleep. But here I am, falling asleep at 9 o'clock, and I'm up at half past 6, and I feel fantastic. So there was some that were extremely shocked that I did a full 360 in terms of my social life. It was very hard for a lot of people to process because, like I said, when I started my business, I was out there. You're doing the networking events. You're going to meet potential clients. You're giving off yourself. The moment I started going, no, can we rather make that a Teams call? I don't want to come and do coffee. I don't want to do this. And having these boundaries,
yeah,
I found, I would say 40% respect it and acknowledge it because they're going through it in their life. I've had a few clients who've said, you know what? I get you. I get it. The other 60% is like, you're crazy. This is still business. You still need to put yourself out there. You still, and I'm going, yeah, but if I'm dead in 5 years, what's going to be the point? Because I felt like I was dying at some point, you know? I haven't felt that, so I'm not willing to go back there. I'd rather.
Yeah, but how's your productivity since you've been looking after yourself?
So much better. I think just from a concentration point of view, you know, I was convinced I had ADHD at some point because I just couldn't focus on anything. If I spent an hour on it, it was a great day. But I'd constantly have all these tabs that were open and not be able to finish anything off. Now I find myself being able to kind of dig deep and finish my tasks. You know, I set tasks for myself where I'm going, okay, you've got two things to get done today. Do that with all the energy and chutzpah you can find. And I'm finding it's not as profitable, but I am okay with that. I am okay with being healthy first than being rich.
Okay.
And I think that
cool.
took, yeah, that took a lot of kind of big girl panties to make that admission. One, I thought money was the source, was partly a source of my happiness, because when you have money, you can do anything you want to do.
Yeah.
But it's funny that when I did have money, my health was not my priority.
Yeah.
When I had all the money, when I could have done anything, that
yes,
wasn't priority. Instead, I kind of would fool myself to go, okay, take a 2 week holiday, go catch the sun. But I've got my laptop open. My phone is always on. I'm always accessible. Now, when I say no, it's a solid no.
Yeah.
I can only speak to you tomorrow at 7:30. I'm sorry, I'm not going to speak to you at 7:00. So it's changed. I'm less of a people pleaser, I'm finding, because my head is clear now. Where previously I would almost emotionally guilt myself into going, if you don't help or if you don't show up, it's the end of the world. You know, you'll be cut off. People are going to forget about you. But so many good things have happened just in the last 6 months in an industry where I thought, gosh, because you've pulled away so much, you're never going to find a foot back. And yeah, I've been proven wrong.
That's the way it goes. What would you say the biggest nutritional breakthrough was for you? What is the aha for you from a nutritional point of view?
I didn't realize I need that much food in a day. I had been living off coffee and one meal a day, and I thought that would be enough to sustain me because, hey, I put something in my stomach. I treasure now, I think about food all the time, interestingly.
Interesting.
I will not miss breakfast. I will not miss my dinner at 7:00. I could miss a snack here or there, but I'm constantly going, cool, if you're not going to eat now, you're not going to have the energy to do this.
Yes.
Or you're not going to have the clarity to make this decision. And
yes.
So food has suddenly come to the front, where for a very long time, food was a devil to me because it's going to get you fat. And do you really need to eat if you've got coffee and cigarettes? Just living an episode of Mad Men. That was my mentality for the longest of time. That dude, you survive on cigarettes and coffee. And this journey has made me realize I don't have to, you know, that coffee wasn't helping. Instead, if I eat a snack at 10, I have more energy. You know, if I have my lunch, that last 4 hours of the day doesn't feel as heavy.
Exactly.
And I can get through it. So I'm not exhausted. You know, I hear a lot of people say at the end of the day, they're so exhausted, they can't even open their laptop. I'm exhausted because I'm sleepy and not because the day has pulled everything out of me. That has been incredible as well. To not feel like the day has sucked the life out of me.
Yeah, it's a different kind of tired. You're tired because the sun is going down now and you should go to bed because the life has been sucked out of you.
Absolutely. And I feel it if I, for example, I've had a few late nights with just some client events and things that life will kind of hand to you. And the next day, I know from the moment I wake up, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's going to be a sluggish day. Yeah. I didn't get my 8 hours or 10 hours.
Yeah.
Before that, it was just like, get up and go. I could fall asleep at 4 and 9 a.m. be sitting and presenting to a client.
Oof.
But I'd have that meeting and not remember anything I said. Now I sit in meetings and I'm listening better. I'm engaging better. I'm not taking things as personally. That was a big thing for me last year where everything felt like a personal attack.
Oof.
And now it's like, oh, that's got nothing to do with me. It's just Nikki having a bad day.
Exactly.
And I can move on.
Yeah.
Before that, I would hold it in. I'd be constantly thinking at the back of my mind, what did I say to her? What did I do?
Yes.
Do I need to call her? Do I need to have a conversation? Oh, my God. What? You know, it would all be this sunshine, you did something wrong.
Yeah.
And now it's okay. We've lost that account. No problem. Thank you. What am I eating?
And it really does, you know, when you sleep and you let your brain heal overnight, as it does, it cleans itself out and it heals overnight. It changes your brain chemistry. And when we talk about the importance of sleep, people don't realize it is that important. It affects every aspect of your life.
I wish I had listened to my granny instead of those college professors, you know, because she always preached sleep, 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 sleep. And like I'm saying, you suddenly get into this big bad industry that says, no, sleep is for the weak. We don't sleep. We keep going. And you get so caught up that you stop clocking in with yourself. Is this working for me? Is this healthy? Is this real life? You know, is this how everyone's operating? But you start to see your age group and you realize there's half of us who are in this big, bad, ugly, we don't know what we're doing point. Yeah. And then there's the other half who have found some sort of, I want to say, like a flat line where it's no one's dead, but there's movement through those challenges. And I think for me, my fear was my challenges were so big.
Yeah.
I felt stuck.
Yeah.
I felt stuck. I was like, this is it, dude. This is the end. And I haven't felt that in the last 7 months. So we started in January, we're in July. Yeah. I haven't felt that emotion or that I'm not as hard on myself.
That's incredible.
I'm not putting things just in my plate.
Yeah.
And saying no is no longer something I feel that will make me lose things, but actually saying no helps me gain some sort of control.
Yeah. So as someone who's seen both sides of the coin and you've really lived the dark side, I mean, you've thoroughly walked that path and you have walked yourself into the light. What is your best advice for women in the corporate world or sort of business owners who are, and there are millions of us, who are trying to please everybody, who are not looking after themselves, who think that miraculously you're going to wake up tomorrow and it's all going to be okay? What would you say to them?
I don't think your workplace is ever going to put you first in the way you would like. So it is your job to put yourself first. And having been in corporate myself, having both male and female bosses, the one thing I'd say is speak up for yourself. You know, I think a lot of people judge those people who go and leave for 3 weeks or say, I pick up my kid at 2 o'clock and that's that. Having those boundaries is really important. I'm not saying it won't get you fired from work, but I think find an employee who understands that you're a human first. You have things that are beyond, you know, your control that you should put first. So I'd say they need to speak up when you feel those little niggling little things where you're like, I don't feel like myself. Don't ignore that. You know, that's just stress bubbling under that you're putting aside to prioritize everything else. Make sure that inner voice that you hear that every woman has, I wonder if men have it, but I know every woman has an inner voice that says, you are not well, you are not doing this, or you are not doing that, or it's complimenting you. But listen to that voice. If you're feeling like this work is making me sick, chances are it's not going to get any better. So your job to then put those boundaries in place, to use all the resources that they provide. What's beautiful now is a lot of the corporates have introduced wellness programs. And even though it's more physical, empower yourself by consulting a nutritionist and understanding, how do I survive this madness? Yeah. If I'm at work from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. every day, chances are you're eating takeout at some point. Yeah. Chances are you're eating missing meals or eating at the table with your computer wide open.
Yeah.
Actually, take that lunch. You know, they give you a one-hour lunch because we're entitled to it. I never used to take lunch. I used to eat at my desk and not want to waste 45 minutes on myself. I encourage all those women to waste those 45 minutes on themselves.
Absolutely.
Take a walk around the office. Like, try and have lunch outside of your usual environment and use that to your benefit. You know, those benefits are there. Take advantage of them, but don't ignore that little niggling sound that you keep hearing when you're sitting on the couch or when you're walking the passages and you're thinking, I hate this job.
Yeah.
It's usually not the job. It's just your mental state. I feel like it's a lot of what we put in. We used to have a vending machine where Fritos and a lunch bar was the 4 o'clock snack. And you'd see all of us into that just to catch those last 2 hours and have energy for work.
Yeah.
I hardly have to have, I haven't had soda in 6 months.
Yeah.
That's the most liberating thing. For me, a soda used to be like, okay, that's my energy thing, or I'm going to grab a Red Bull or find something to fix it. It's temporary.
Yeah. It's temporary and long-term damaging.
100%. It's just not sustainable. So I encourage anyone who's in this limbo autopilot state and the gym's not helping, or you know, going out for drinks with friends or whatever's not, the usual stuff isn't helping.
Yeah.
I suspect you need to just look at what you're putting in your body.
Yes.
I didn't think I would enjoy sourdough, and here I am. I think I could survive not eating rice and pasta. All my meals fill me up. I don't ever feel at some point that I'm starving.
Yes.
Unless the hours between the two meals have been huge, then I'll definitely feel that.
Mm.
But I think studying what I've put into my body has been the biggest game changer.
Yeah.
With all the medical professions I'm consulting, I think that's the one place, if we hadn't started on that, I don't think I would have explored everything else.
No, it's all part of the picture. Tell me about protein. How has that changed for you?
I like whey.
Love that.
You know, I think being taught to eat the right foods has been the biggest game changer. You know, when I've had whey previously, it wasn't necessarily the best brand. So finding the right quality of product has been a game changer. I'm finding protein. Every meal that I have has a bit of protein, whether it's an egg or I'm having some nuts or I'm having, you know, a piece of chicken or whatever. It's I'm always asking, where's this chicken from?
Yes.
Where are you growing it? What's happening? I've become much more conscious of kind of asking what I'm putting in my body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I didn't care for at all. For me, it was just like, as long as we put a meal in our body, this body will carry itself.
Mm-mm.
But we put our bodies through so much. And what we don't realize is our body stores all the good and bad, right? So if there's more bad at some point in your life, chances of it showing up will happen. I've had less breakouts. I've always had acne. A challenge with acne skin in my 30s. I literally became hormonal again and just broke out like a teenager. I haven't had those breakouts since we've started working together and kind of fixing my wonderful life. I haven't had any migraines. I have a clarity, even if I'm tired, that still keeps me moving forward. Where previously I'd kind of just sink into my tiredness and go, okay, cool. Shutting off all devices, switching off for a few hours, and I'm ignoring the world. Now I can kind of go, okay, I'm tired, but I can still push forward, nudge forward, do what I need to do, and not feel guilty and not feel bad. more
It
tired.
looks like to me that you see yourself now. You can see you and you can honor yourself now.
I'm seeing, I'd say, half of myself now, because I feel like this journey is just the beginning,
Good.
right? I still have, I live in a township, so there's wonderful things like fat cakes and street food, and I definitely still have those cravings, but it's just that, it's like a craving. If I can't resist, absolutely I'll have it. I think it's taught me not to not give myself the things I want, you know? So even if I'm feeling for cake, I'll make sure I'm having gluten-free cake and still get the satisfaction instead of me gobbling a whole Woolworths cake. So it's finding balance that I've found really interesting. In the beginning, I was extremely hard on myself, trying not to, eat things that you didn't recommend, etc. But with journey, I'm finding things I like that I didn't before. I'm enjoying vegetables much more and in the natural state, where previously, that takeout vegetable tasted amazing. Now I'm like, oh my God, there's so much oil in here. There's so much milk in here. What's going
It's
on?
not
Give
vegetables.
me these real veggies. So I'm not over the hill, but the fact that this trolley has started moving is the best part of this whole journey, because for the
Sounds.
longest time, I didn't think I could change my habits. I didn't think I could change my brain processing function. I didn't think I could give myself grace. And through this journey, I have learned to give myself grace.
I love that. Wow, that is huge. And that is something that a lot of people never reach. So well done for that.
Thank you.
Sunshine, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be part of your journey. This is why I do what I do, because I don't do it for you. I just give you some tools and you rush off and you make this amazing thing happen. And for me, that is everything. So thank you for letting me be part of your journey. It has been quite profound to watch you grow.
Thank you, Nikki. I wish, women across the country could have access to someone like you. I think what this journey has taught me is food can change your whole body chemistry. But I feel physically amazing. I'm still on a journey in terms of, psychology and speaking to somebody else about other things. But the fact that this one thing was a trigger is the most important part. I think if I had started with the gynae first before seeing you, I came and I told you I used to have extreme period pains, or my ovulation would always be this angry, uncomfortable place. I haven't had those issues. I've seen less of my gynae, I've seen less of my dentist, I've seen less of my GP just in the last 6 months. If I look at my history last year, by mid-year, I'd had the flu twice. I haven't had the flu. I haven't. My immune system is extremely strong. And I'm seeing that because by now I'd have 2 weeks, 3 weeks of a flu, which has been an annual flu for the last 10 years.
Yeah, it's not normal to have flu every year. I'm sorry.
Here we are in July and I haven't had
I probably won't have it. It's not normal. You
it.
don't have to get sick every year. That's a myth.
So it's those things where you realize, oh, my body was just not in its best state.
It
And
wasn't
that's why,
resourced.
100%. And that's why a lot of that stuff was happening, So I think for me, it's been liberating going, oh, this isn't just me. It was my body. Where for the longest time, I thought this is how I'm built.
No, and we're taught that, and it's not true because we're not taught how to listen to our bodies and to give it the right equipment, I think, the right resources to stay healthy. We are designed to be healthy for a very long time, believe it or not. It's not very profitable for the pharmaceutical industry, but it's much better for us to live this way.
Yeah, I used to spend thousands on migraine tablets, seeing specialists, who are all going, there's nothing wrong. We're not seeing anything. We don't know. And it took, and I don't know if because we cut out basics like white wheat, but that not having a migraine has been phenomenal. I've had migraines since I was 9. And for the first time, I have not had a migraine in this whole year. And that hasn't happened to me in my
That is
entire life.
phenomenal. Yeah, testimony to doing the work.
Yeah, that's freedom. You know, things you thought you'd have to live with,
Yeah.
and suddenly it's not a real thing. I, in every medical form, I declare I have migraines. I have migraines.
You don't identify by migraines anymore. You're free of
God, that is not a problem I
it.
encounter anymore, and I never
Yeah.
thought I would not have that. My family knows that's my problem. With period pains, it's the same thing. I have had the least amount of medical issues this year than I've had in
That's
the last 5
incredible.
years.
Oh my goodness. So well done. And thank you for helping me get the word out there because yeah, we need more people to realize that they can be free as well. You can be free of the torment of illness if you look after yourself.
Yeah, but to feel that one can thrive by depending on themselves and how you treat
Yeah.
yourself is a wonderful journey to be on. I always thought my problems could be fixed by somebody else, and to be empowered to actually fix my
Yeah.
life and find my happy has been because I have the right support. So, you know, I think any wellness officer, wellness spaces, gyms, if they
Yeah.
introduced a nutritional angle to all of that. I know people have been going to gym for years and they're like, it's just to keep me mentally sane, but I'm not seeing the differences, or I'm not feeling any different. You know, it's just that 1 hour I have to clear. I want to tell them that you can have that feeling for 8 hours or longer. It's not just that 1 hour gym session. You can be on that energy the whole day if you're putting the right fuel into your body.
And it's different to dietetics. It's different to going to a dietitian because you have to lose weight or because you're diabetic. It's a totally different approach. It's understanding food in a different way. There's a place for dietetics, obviously, but this is a different way of doing it. And it does work. It works every time, regardless of your age, regardless of your health trajectory. It always works.
Yeah, guys, I started this journey at 43. I wish I'd started it earlier, but it's exciting
Good.
to kind of go, okay, if I feel like this now, I can only imagine what I'm going to feel like in a year.
Up and up, better and
That
better.
excites me. Like,
Yes.
so next time maybe they'll see me in a bikini.
Absolutely. And why not? Love
But
it.
thank you, Nikki. Thank you. I pray and wish you all the success in terms of spreading this gospel of food. I think it's so liberating. Women need to know, men need to know. I think if the family knows how to eat as a unit, it could be a game
Yes.
changer for a lot of things that we think we're meant to have.
Yeah, it will change people's lives. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
If Sunshine's story moved you or made you think differently about your own health or pace of life, I encourage you to take a moment today, just one moment, to check in with yourself. Ask, what do I need right now? It's often the smallest shifts that lead to the biggest changes. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider sharing it with someone who might need to hear it. And if you're curious about the kind of work I do with clients like Sunshine, feel free to reach out via my website. Until next time, take care of yourself because health isn't something we chase, it's something we return to.